Baby, now you ready. Baby, now you ready.
Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra. Joining me is my co-host, Jesse Hall. How you doing, Jesse?
Hey, I'm doing good. Happy Thursday. Ready for the weekend. Ready for the weekend.
Yeah, Washington weekend, I guess we'll say, called Bears Week. We spent a whole week on that one, I guess. Not a divisional rivals, they don't get the full week. But to help preview the Washington game, Washington football team, or Full Press Washington football team managing editor, that's really tough to say. They really got to get a new name. It's better than the last one. I'm not complaining. But thanks for joining us, George Carmi from Full Press Coverage Washington. So thanks.
Yeah, thank you, gentlemen, for having me. I'm really happy to be here. Thank you.
Yes. I know early enough, but impactful enough, I think, for both teams. The Packers sitting at 5-1 now. The game against the Cardinals next week will really determine that, but they're still alive for a first round bye. I know that's going to be a while away. So for the Packers, they're thinking playoffs, division title, first round bye potentially. They got to win games. And so this is a game I feel like from the Packers' perspective, they have to win this game. I don't know about you, Jesse, but I haven't felt this confident since before week one entering a game. So I don't know if I'm being too cocky this week.
Oh, man, don't say that. Yeah, that week one. Why do we keep bringing that up? I'm confident. It's good teams got to get it done, right? Not picking anything on Washington or nothing, but this game at home against a team that's struggling with a lot of injuries too. Missing their quarterback. These are the games you have to win if you want to get it done. There's always blips every year, but especially going into a tough Thursday game or on the road short week, you got to get this one done. But that's where everybody says, hey, it's the perfect trap game. Yeah, whatever. I don't believe all that. Take care of business. Just get it done.
George, what are your kind of thoughts going into this week?
Oh, man. So basically being a Washington football, covering the team, it's going to be kind of a difficult task for us. You guys caught us at the perfect time, too. Things are just kind of messy here in D.C. There's definitely a lot of turmoil basically on and off the field. We are kind of an injured and kind of battered team as well. Coming into the season, we had high hopes of Ryan Fitzpatrick. We thought that he would be Fitzmagic, but also Fitztragic. But we also thought that he could provide some sort of spark on offense. Taylor Heinicke came in. He provided a spark and he provided some intrigue. However, he's developing into the person that we thought he was. We knew he was more of like a spot starter, more of like a spot starter, high-end backup quarterback. We didn't really see the long-term potential with him. We are kind of reeling as a team. We played the Saints 2 weeks ago. We kind of had them on the ropes. They were playing pretty well, but we dropped the game due to a couple botched errors. Coming into this week, you guys have a huge advantage having Aaron Rodgers, obviously, and our back end of the secondary just lacks communication. So, we'll both see it this weekend. We have Bobby McCain, who came out from the Dolphins, playing free safety. We have Landon Collins playing strong safety. And Landon Collins actually has been like a cause of ire here in D.C. because he's more of a box safety, more plays along the line. But they've been kind of playing him more in the back end over the past couple weeks. And it's been miscommunication and deep shots being taken downfield. So, I won't digress too much. But right now, I think we have 30-second off, defense in regard to big plays. There's miscommunication back there. It's a great week to start Aaron Rodgers in fantasy football. That's what I have to say.
Yeah, I hate it when people say that because then everything bad happens. But I agree with you. You look on paper, you see a lot of big names on this team, and there's talent, But like you said, the pass defense has just been really bad. Not a typical Ron Rivera run kind of team, right? Because they're usually pretty disciplined on defense, and it's just not working right now. That's not to say, they figure it out. Hopefully this week they don't. But, you look up front, I kind of talked in my article about it, not just with it's everybody talks about Chase Young. It's the, hey, Montez Sweat is no joke. And then in the middle, Jonathan Allen and Deron Payne, they're monsters, but it's just for whatever reason, the group as a whole is not playing as a team. From the little bit I've watched of them, you see a lot of individuals playing and you're not going to win football games like that.
Yeah. You're definitely on top of it, Jesse. So our defensive line, You know, it was highly touted going into the season. We had high hopes here in DC. We actually ended last season with the second overall ranked defense. And we're like, you know what? You know, obviously we won the division last year at 7-9. You know, it wasn't the most heralded division title of all time, but we basically walked into the season with, you know, a first place schedule, a murderer's row of quarterbacks. We played Patrick Mahomes, we play Aaron Rodgers, we played Tom Brady coming up, in theory, Russell Wilson. So we kind of knew there would be some regression on our defense, but not to this extent. Our defensive line still is pretty legit. So I do want to put that out there. Chase Young hasn't been getting his home as much as as much as we'd like, but he's been getting chipped. He's been getting pressures. He's causing chaos, but he's not actually getting to the quarterback. I think he has maybe 2 sacks on the year. Montez Sweat's legit. He came out of the season pretty quickly. I think he had 3 sacks in his first 2 games, kind of slowed down a little bit, but I think honestly, from a Washington perspective and a fan, you know, an editor that covers the team and writes about the team, I think Sweat is toe for toe with Chase Young in regard to talent. Two people you guys should keep an eye out for, from your perspective, for, you know, seeing the team for the first time, would probably be Jonathan Allen as a defensive tackle. He is my favorite player on the defensive line. He's like he's very underrated. Like, people don't really know him on the national scale. I believe he has 4 sacks as defensive tackle. He creates pressure. He is like a stout run. He's one of those elite defensive tackles that are stout run defenders, but also can create pass rushing abilities. So he's doing that there. The last thing I'll do before I throw it back to you guys is, our biggest issue, and you guys will see it on Sunday, is that our team is young. I believe we are one of the youngest teams in the league. Our defense is, like, you know, 25 and below for the most part. And I think what happened was Jack Del Rio basically tried to keep the scheme very simple and very basic, just so the players can play fast. Like, hey, you're playing cover 2, you're playing cover 3. This is your zone responsibilities, but not disguising it that much, right? So what's happening is these veteran quarterbacks, like Matt Ryan, for instance, and Jameis Winston, believe it or not, they came out, they've been in the league for, you know, 10, 15 years now. They basically know how to, like, they walk up to the line, like, you're showing me a cover 2? This is easy. And they just basically pick it apart. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers, in my opinion, is one of the best quarterbacks of all time. I can see him kind of thriving this week. So I'm kind of worried about that.
Opposing quarterbacks, you mentioned it, murderer's row is probably a really good way to do that. I mean, I think in my mind, you just named the 4 best quarterbacks in the NFL there, saying Mahomes, Rodgers, Brady, Wilson. You can change the order. And my number 5 in NFL quarterbacks is Dak Prescott, and you guys got to play him twice a year. So you're literally playing the 5 best quarterbacks in the NFL all season. So that's
Allen, too. Keep that in mind.
He might be number 6. Right? Exactly. Do you guys play Baltimore this year?
We do not. Lamar
Jackson. Well, there you go. You spared Jackson.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's tough. And I guess I guess a few things to touch on. And one of them kind of transitions to some Packers news here. The news that David Bakhtiari is practicing again. I'll be honest. I didn't know that he would practice right away being off the PUP. I know there was some time. It seems like as soon as they could, they got him to practice, which is that's a great sign, because I feel like if they weren't sure about him, they wouldn't have him practice. So I know I was more on the pessimistic side of Bach. Like, you know, you might not see him until December, maybe even. Looks like Jesse, I don't know what you're thinking. Doesn't look like he's going to play this week, at least from all the reports. Good news could he maybe play next Thursday against the Cardinals? Or is that turnaround too quick as well?
I don't know. Well, see, I was on the opposite end. You know, I thought he was going to go week 1. I think that guy's Superman, right? So we're getting it right in the middle. So, you know, I guess we're both too aggressive in our thoughts. But, you know, Matt LaFleur said it perfect. You know, he said there's a ramp up period with it. You know, he's ready to go. Obviously, you know, they wouldn't have him out there if they don't think he's feeling good. But there's a little bit. He's still got to get some hitting in and some practice in that. So I think Thursday would even be pushing it. But hey, you know, if he looked good this week and he's getting his feet under him, maybe. I mean, I don't want to skip this game because Thursday is a huge game, short week. But I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But if I had to guess, I would say they're going to give him that 10 days off and then bring him back against the Chiefs in 3 weeks. But that's 100% guess.
Anyway, so the O-line, it looks like Josh Myers hasn't practiced this week. They didn't put him on IR, so that's a good sign. That means they believe he can return within the next 3 weeks, or at least close enough. Like, if they thought he was going to be out a month, they just put him on IR right now, I think. Like, just knowing the Packers, it seems like every NFL team with the new 3-week injured reserve rules have been more willing to place players on IR if they're not sure. But it seems like the Packers have kind of always been that way anyway. So I doubt Myers plays this week, though no practice yet.
He's not going to play. Matt LaFleur said he's going to be out. You know, he said he'll be out for a week to 2 weeks, they're kind of feeling. But it seems like a wait and see kind of feel, which, like you said, that's great. You know, no IR. So, you know, again, short week, and then you got those 10 days. I guarantee they're going to think that he can play against Kansas City. So, but he basically all but ruled him out for this week.
Okay, so that would leave Lucas Patrick playing at center. So you have the interior of Patrick, Runyon, and Newman. And I feel like, especially the two, well, Runyon's not a rookie, but the two young guys that have been drafted in the last 2 years, those guys, it seems like week after week, they just get better. But Georgie said it with a guy, like, okay, so everyone knows about the D-line, the exterior, right? The outside edge guys, Chase Young, Montez Sweat might not be as renowned, but that is where the priorities are. But, like, Jonathan Allen could be a bit of a problem for that interior to handle, knowing there's no Bakhtiari, so there's no chance of moving Turner or Jenkins inside. So you've got that young interior playing against him. So that will be a really interesting matchup to watch.
Yeah, for sure. And definitely take a look at Daron Payne, too. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with him as well. So we basically have a pair of Alabama defensive tackles, Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne. We basically drafted him in the first round back-to-back. They're awesome. I really like those players a lot. Daron Payne is more of like, he actually was more of like a two technique, like a nose tackle at one point, but they basically, zero technique, nose tackle at one point. But what ended up happening is they're actually allowing him to pass rush. He's doing a great job with that too. So if you guys are banged up in the middle of your offensive line, that could pose a problem. Like, I think, like, realistically, I think I do see an advantage here. I do think our interior defensive line can get you through your offensive line. But I think Aaron Rodgers is so mobile and he's so, like, decisive. I think that'll kind of trump them both. But I think I got to do something to keep an eye on from your end.
Right. I agree. Like, last week, you know, I'm not a Bears fan at all, obviously. But, you know, I'm super high about their interior with Hicks and Goldman. And this group right here, like I said in my article, they're right there with – they're basically younger versions and probably better pass – pressure out of Allen. They're just studs. I mean, household names to me, trust me, those guys are good.
There you go.
And our young guys are improving, but yeah, that's where you have an advantage, you know. But the big thing, like they had last week, you know, they can kind of hold their own. It's there's some miscommunications and it got ugly really quick, you know. So mm-hmm. If they can clean that up, like you said, Aaron Rodgers, get the ball out, maybe you can get some success. But yeah, don't let those guys get going for sure.
So the next thing I'd like to talk about, another piece of news, and then kind of relates to, again, back to the injury report with certain positions and why this acquisition really important. So apparently it's I kind of like this, Jesse, this year where everyone just seems to want to go to the Packers, right? Like all these veteran free agents getting released at midseason and they decide, oh, let's end up in Green Bay. So Whitney Mercilus leaving the Houston Texans, ending up with the Green Bay Packers now, kind of at a time where they really need that specific position. I know, like, I've seen Whitney Mercilus call those couple spots as a defensive end, but from what I remember, you know, watching Texans games, he plays more outside linebacker, and right now that's what they could really use, because you look to the injury report, Preston Smith hasn't practiced yet this week. So similar designation to Josh Myers, I'm thinking similar outcome where Preston Smith doesn't play. So instead of going in with just Rashawn Gary and Jonathan Garvin, you could maybe mix in Mercilus a little bit to help that rotation. I do feel like it's going to be those two primarily, but Mercilus, I think as the season goes on, we'll get more snaps, but got to love being able to rotate those front seven players.
Right. It's a great signing. Yeah, he's an edge player. Like, you know, that's what he did. You know, Houston over his career, they've went, you know, from odd and even front. So he's played both. He's an edge player. He's a pass rusher. He's not the guy he was in 2013, 2014, but he doesn't need to be. It's a great signing. Rumors are the Chiefs offered more money and he wanted to come to Green Bay. So I love that, you know, leaving Houston where that's a dumpster fire down there. I'm not even going to get into it. You know, this could rejuvenate him a little bit where, like you said, he's not going to be asked to be the guy, which that's what he was there, you know. And he can come in and, hey, third down, go eat. Go after the quarterback. Do what you do. This guy was an second-team All-Pro, 2014? Which was a while ago, but a lot of experience and it's depth. You know, we're injured at the position, but come December, January, hopefully we get both well, hopefully Z's back, P will be back, Preston will be back before that. But this is just a depth piece on a team that, you know, hey, they're saying this is a year and all this and going all in. Hey, cheap deal on a veteran that's 50 plus sacks in his career. Why the heck not? Kick the tires.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the pass rush, I mean, again, obviously Washington, that's what they're known for right now. And it's not necessarily living up to par, but that's definitely a danger. But the Packers are capable of putting pressure on the quarterback too. And George, I'm just looking at the injury report here. And I see Brandon Scherff hasn't practiced yet this week with the knee injury. So is the expectation that he's going to miss this game?
I believe so. And honestly, one thing I didn't really think about until you guys brought it up, our offensive line has been overperforming, actually. So that is one thing that I am kind of confident about. Like, we kind of have a hodgepodge of offensive linemen put together. And, you know, Brandon Scherff, because that big name, is first team all pro. But, you know, like, around here in D.C., we appreciate his, like, toughness. And he thrives in, like, pulling as a running guard. You know, as a pulling guard and run blocking is what he thrives at. Without him in our lineup, we haven't really missed a beat. We actually have, you know, we have Eric Flowers who kind of came back from Miami, who he's kind of put away from a couple years ago. Who else we have? We have Wes Schweitzer, who we actually drafted in the third round a couple years ago too. And actually, I'm looking at my report right now. Wes Schweitzer played last week against Kansas City. He had an offensive grade of 89.5 in PFF and a run blocking of 90.8 in PFF. So it's funny, like, Scherff is that big name, but, you know, whether it's our chemistry on our offensive line, whether it's our offensive line coach who's new to us this year, we're actually hoarding our own. Like, Taylor Heinicke is not getting sacked that often. So I think he's averaging maybe less than two a game, maybe even once a game, because for two reasons. For one, our offensive line is actually providing protection. And for two, Taylor Heinicke actually is pretty mobile. He's a smaller guy, kind of more slight. And I think between him kind of being, you know, kind of shifty, whenever a lineman tries to get him, he has like kind of that nifty ability to kind of get loose and just throw the ball away. So I don't know. I'd be really surprised to see Green Bay kind of dominating the actual pass rush, but you know, you guys know better than me, so we'll kind of see how that goes.
Well, so I did, I'm looking it up right now, going to Football Outsiders. It's one of my favorite sources for offensive line metrics.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. They've got they've Washington's offensive line third in the NFL in adjusted sack rate, so 3.8% of passes. So just from a pass protection standpoint, they're actually better than the Packers, who are middle of the pack. No pun, actually pun intended. I intended that one. 7%, so almost double. Like the Commanders getting sacked at a rate almost double to what Heinicke has been this year. Now, they're 18th in adjusted line yards, so overall run blocking. But I can see your point with Scherff kind of bear out in the numbers. Washington's fourth in power success rate. So it seems like the push up the middle, that's not necessarily Sheriff's strong suit. So losing him wouldn't affect that. But I see that they're 29th in open field yards and 23rd in second level yards. So I think that's maybe where they're missing Scherff.
You're exactly right. You're on the right path, Kyle. Like, basically, like, Brennan Scherff, like, benefits from playing out in space. He's an athletic guard. So basically, while he is pulling, he can get upfield and get to that second and third level and hit those big explosive runs, which we have been lacking without Brennan Scherff. But you're right. The passing sack rates have been low, which has been good for us.
So yeah, so which running back do you think benefits more from that run, that blocking style? Is it the lead guy Gibson, or do you think J.D. McKissic actually comes in and is better without Scherff? Just because Gibson is so good in space that you'd maybe prefer to have him in with Scherff.
So they're very similar backs, and I actually really like Antonio Gibson a lot. But the problem with Antonio Gibson is he's kind of nicked up right now. I don't know if that's kind of made it to you guys out there. But basically, Antonio Gibson, I believe it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, actually about 3 weeks ago, he got thrown a deeper pass by Taylor Heinicke. And you guys will notice this when you guys are watching the game. Heinicke's arm strength isn't the best. So basically he threw it out, kind of left Antonio Gibson hanging, and he got hit in his shin, and he has a slight fracture. He's actually playing with a slight fracture in his shin right now, and that he's playing limited reps. So Antonio Gibson actually, you know, he was explosive wide receiver at Memphis. He converted into running back. He has the ability to kind of, you know, be a great all, you know, three down running back, very similar to Aaron Jones. However, he is banged up. We are missing Scherff, so there really isn't a lot of explosion. Where McKissick thrives, McKissick actually is he's a pretty dynamic third down back. So he's more of a receiver out of the backfield. I think he's kind of catching teams, in surprise. Like he'd be in the shotgun position and basically like he's expecting second and long, you expect maybe a screen or a pass. That's what they'll give it to him. He'll kind of explode up the middle in that regard. But over the past two games, I think with Antonio Gibson being nicked up, I think J.D. McKissick's averaging higher yards per carry. But they're interchangeable. Like, Antonio Gibson's our bell cow back, but I think he is a little bit nicked up, and we're kind of seeing it right now.
So probably until he can fully recover, which might not even happen this year, it's probably 50-50 split or the most 60-40.
Yeah, so I'm in regard to fantasy, I'm actually still starting Antonio Gibson every week, but it's like, I don't know, you are kind of hesitant a little bit, right? He's a RB2, in regard to fantasy. You'll probably get it, but I'd say 15 to 20, he probably get about 15 touches this next coming game, probably maybe 10 carries, 5 catches, maybe 60 yards, maybe a touchdown. But they have been giving McKissick the ball within the goal line as well. So it is kind of becoming almost like a timeshare back there. It's pretty interesting.
And unfortunately, the Packers are a little vulnerable to running back. So I actually think McKissick's also playable this week, too.
Oh, you might. Yeah, definitely. If you have a flex position, it wouldn't hurt at all. I don't see that as a problem.
I mean, it's bi-apocalypse, right? Six teams on bye. Like, this is the week where you might have to start a guy like McKissick. I believe I picked him up in a league with the intention of starting him this week. So there you go.
There you go. It's funny. Actually, I was looking at my fantasy team before tonight's game, and it's like my entire bench. I have Clyde Edwards-Helaire on IR. I have Baker Mayfield out, and I have like four other people on bye. That's my whole bench. Like, this is great. So I can't really do much. So we'll figure it out.
Jesse, were there any other topics before we monopolize the fantasy talk? Because George did hit on something earlier, talk about Aaron Rodgers, that I did kind of want to just address and kind of, I guess, end the episode with.
No, you guys are the fantasy guys, so you can talk what you want about it. Yeah, one thing with like the receivers I'll say about Washington, Curtis Samuel, one of my favorite guys before you guys signed him. I thought that was going to be a really nice duo that you guys would have with him and McLaurin, and it just... He just can't stay healthy or get on the field. Kind of, his whole career's been like that, but especially this year. But I think McLaurin's, another, you talk about underrated guys on, defensive line and stuff. That dude's a dude. He's really, really good. People forget about him, but, just each week he's constantly good. So that's going to be a good matchup with Stokes, our rookie, who we really like. And each week he's getting better and better. But for me, that's the guy you got to stop on this offense. You take him away, it changes what they want to do.
Yeah, I agree. So Terry McLaurin, whoever's listening, PSA, he's a wide receiver one, man. Terry McLaurin is the real deal. We are proud of him out here. He basically, he has a turnstile at quarterback, whether it's Taylor Heineke or Ryan Fitzpatrick or Dwayne Haskins or Alex Smith. Like, I think he's played with 9 different quarterbacks throughout his 3 years in the NFL, and he produced 1,000 yards every single season, 6 touchdowns, over 100 catches, over 100 targets, and he just produces every single time. And what I like about him is he just has that hard-nosed work ethic. He was Ohio State special teams captain, and he brings that mentality over to Washington. And he has a 4.3 speed, so he can actually hit that home run shot, but he's also a guy that catches it over the middle. He's a route technician. He's great. Like, I can't say anything better about him. I do expect him to get, big target share against the Packers on Sunday. I'd say maybe 10 to 14 targets coming from Terry McLaurin, unless you guys lock him down pretty good. He is a pretty steady steady receiver to kind of consider. Our offense goes with him, as you mentioned, right? So if you ever kind of keep track, like prior to the Kansas City game, we were tickling 30 points a game, every single game going into them, right? So, but for some reason or another, going into a very soft Kansas City defense, we just got shut out. I don't know, really, we got 13 points in the first half, and then we didn't score any points in the second half. It was an ugly game from Washington. But when Washington does pop, so does Terry McLaurin, you'll see occasionally, 2 touchdown games, a 1 touchdown game, 120-yard game. It kind of comes out of nowhere. So, hopefully he provides that spark this weekend. Then finally, Curtis Samuel, we love him. I thought we were going to have a dynamic offense, right? I thought our defense was going to regress, go from 2 to 10 or 15. I thought our offense would progress from basically 29 to up to 20 or something. I thought we were going to have a little boost, but our offense did progress. But I thought Samuel would be wide receiver 2. I thought Dyami Brown, who's a explosive prospect out of North Carolina be our slot receiver. I thought Logan Thomas taking another step forward, but things just aren't working out. Logan Thomas is injured right now. Curtis Samuels had a soft tissue injury all summer. He hasn't really played much. He might play this week, though. I kind of seen some kind of whispers, you know, practicing this week. That'd be kind of interesting to see him. But even if they did play, he'd be on a pitch count. But you mentioned it. Like, you know, Terry McLaurin's the guy to watch for, and Tony Gibson, McKissick, and then sneaky play during Bipocalypse, as you guys are mentioning. Ricky Seals-Jones, our tight end. Like, you know, Washington just kind of feeds their tight ends often. And he's, you know, I think I scored a touchdown last week with 40 yards. So he's someone to kind of slide in if you guys see him on your waiver wire.
And yeah, so to touch on the fantasy aspect just with Aaron Rodgers this week, and again, maybe I'm being too cocky, but like, yeah, this is the most confident I've felt about the Packers overall all season, basically. So I think Aaron Rodgers is kind of at the point where he's an every week starter in fantasy every way, unless it's a single quarterback league and you have multiple options where you can stream. That would be like the only reason you would bench him on any week. But I think this week's a really great week to play him in DFS specifically, daily fantasy sports. So I don't often go for Rodgers in DFS, but this would be one week where I would push it. And this is super narrative street, but I don't believe the Packers have played Washington since the Washington Post came out about all the behavior through the organization. I get the sense Aaron Rodgers probably doesn't like Dan Snyder, just knowing what I know about Aaron Rodgers. And so in the first chance to kind of do this since that, I could see him wanting to give a big middle finger to Dan Snyder, kind of like the Bears fans did to him last week, to the owner, and just put 50 on him, right? So this might be a week where I think you can play guys like Robert Tonyan, who would, to me, is kind of almost an avoid this year in fantasy anyway, but I think this might be the Tonyan week, and this could be a Lazard week too. Like, I think you could see all of them. So I'm kind of like, you know, anywhere I have Randall Cobb playing, I'm like, this is one where you maybe just want to play all your peripheral Packers players anyway. So yeah, we could end with fantasy here. Thanks for listening, everyone. George, did you want to plug any work you've done or any where people can find and follow you on social media?
Oh, yeah. So no questions. So, guys, thank you for having me. My name is George Carmi. You can follow me on Twitter at GCarmi21. That's C-A-R-M-I-T-1. I write for Full Press Coverage, as you guys know. You guys can find my work at our FPC_WSH Washington handle. I put up articles every single week. And I also currently run a Full Press Washington podcast. So that's basically what I do every Wednesday. I record around 6 p.m. So definitely check us out.
Awesome. You do those live on the Full Press Coverage, the Full Press Coverage YouTube channel, all those accounts, right?
I need to start. I'm developing that. I've only about 6 episodes in, so I'm kind of learning the ropes right now. I'm recording it and I'm actually publishing it later. But yes, I should start streaming pretty soon.
Okay, well, that's awesome. But still, I think people can check those out on the YouTube the channel for the Full Press Coverage YouTube channel for the replays of that. But yeah, really appreciate that. Again, download the Full Press Coverage app. You get that everywhere. You get everything Full Press Coverage: podcasts, articles. Jesse references the full article this week. I noticed, like, through the Washington, George, you and Alan Lepore, I think I pronounced that right. You guys produce a ton of content too, so you can get that all through the Full Press Coverage app for free. Again, through all your app stores. So for our Twitter accounts, you've got the Full Press Coverage Packers account at FPC_Packers. Jesse's at Hall_JHall1212. I'm at Senra Says. Also, shout out to PA the Second, who lets us use the song Melody as our intro and outro music. PA can be followed on Twitter at PA_IIOfficial. So once again, George, thank you very much for gracing us with your presence. A lot of great knowledge to bring in. This was a fun conversation.
That was it. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Jesse, any final thoughts for the listeners?
Hey, go Pack, go. Another week. It's hard to believe. It's week 7.
Yeah, week 7, watch Washington at the Packers, and we'll be back next episode to recap it all here on the Full Press Packers Pod.